So this is church, right? We're so excited to get to one another. Heaven on earth, this is it. Who can deny? Amen. So why don't we pray? Father, we thank you for your incredible presence, tangible presence. Yes, you abide in us. And so thank you, Jesus, for also abiding. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for also abiding in us. And we can communicate and sense and live our lives according to your plan and purpose on a daily basis because we have communion with you. At the same time, there's this tangible presence of God when we come together as saints, and you bless us so much, and we get recharged, we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we get energized, and we are so grateful. Father, as we're about to get into your word, Father, use us to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, use me as an instrument of righteousness to declare and reveal the word of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the unity that is in this house and the fellowship of the saints. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this will be the last, I guess, of the series. Initially, it was only part one, part two, part three. But part three was divided into two sections because it was going to be too long. And when it's too long with too many points, it's really hard for us to go over throughout the week. So the first was the unexpected shortcut, which is to seek first the kingdom. And we talked about kingdom is God himself, which is Basileia in Revelation chapter 1:6, and also here. Is that we are the individual kingdom where God rule and reign over us. And the best way to seek first the kingdom is himself, and the righteousness of God is Jesus Christ revealed. So we understand that aspect. And moving from that, part two was the evidence. So when we do that, what happens? We know the evidence is what? Love and acceptance and repentance and freedom. That's the tangible evidence that we actually experience in our lives when we seek God first. And we did at the beginning of our journey when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior from our heart. And part three, section A, was we're encouraging one another to lay down our burden, to pick up his burden, and lay down our way, to pick up his way as the body of Christ. And often, the evidence of us carrying our burden and our way is Luke, when Jesus talked about four soil, right? And soil number three was because of the worries and a desire of the things of the world, the fruit never coming to maturity. So that is the evidence, the worry and concern and all those things, that we're not actually laying down our burden. So today would be, how do you walk it out? How do we actually tangibly, practically walk it out? Young, yes, good. That you, thank you, you actually talked about spiritual principle, but how do I apply that into my life? Great question. Thank you for asking that question. Appreciate that question. So when we see the example in the life of Jesus, we can see that. Can we read Luke chapter 22? Verse 39 all the way through 44. Luke 22, 39, 44. Okay, why don't we read together from 39? And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood, falling down upon the ground. So we can see from this verse that Jesus was incredibly honest and transparent approaching the Father by asking him, "Lord, this is why I want this cup to be removed." He wasn't pretending. We know that God, Jesus Christ, was fully God and fully man. That's why, you know, the one of the event when his brother said, let's go to Jerusalem. And he said, I will not go. But later he went. Was he lying? No, he was not lying. He was expressing, I should not go. Then I believe the father spoke to him, you should go. Then he did that. Otherwise, he would be constantly flip-flopping, but he wasn't. So Jesus revealed his heart's desire to God. He was transparent and honest. At the same time, he asked for the Father's will to be done. So you can do both, right? You can do both. But often we kind of bypass revealing our own desire. We only want God, what do you want? And when we hear what he wants, because we haven't processed it, right? So this is the picture of Christ allowing the power of God to come down after he became transparent and praying through the issues of the heart and be empowered by the Lord. And we know in the different gospels, he didn't do it only once. Here, it looked like he only did it once. But we know in different gospels, he did it either twice or three times. But he prayed the exact same prayer, according to Matthew or Mark. He did it three times, exact same prayer. And every time he finished, one time he'll come back to his apostles or disciples, ask them to pray with him. And they could not. So what can we learn from this verse of Jesus's intense prayer? It's not his final prayer, but his prayer on the final night that after he told his disciples in John 15, abide in me and abide in you, obey my command to love one another as I loved you. Then he went up and prayed. It's very, very important posture that we need to remember his interaction with the Father. And the first thing I believe would be, we got to be honest from the heart. So when we approach God, we have to be honest on what we perceive, what we want, and lay it bare before God. Before asking what he wants, we need to be honest by telling him, because we know that he sees the intent and what is in our heart. So we need to stop disconnecting what we want from our heart, because often we're taught in society not to reveal our true, either sometimes emotion for guys, right? We're told, suck it up, princess, that kind of old saying, or, you know, things like that. Well, men don't cry. We only cry three times when we are born. What's the second time? Not when you're married. No, that's not the right one. Come on, you got to do better than that, right? Yeah, don't say when you smile when we divorce. So don't say that. That's not nice. But we do, like, we're taught by culturally, beyond any, like, Asia or Western culture, all cultures, we believe the strength is absence of emotion. So we champion what? Stoicism, right? We champion, that's from Greek, is Stoics, right? We champion that. That even bled into Asia, all the other, because that's subconsciously, we want man to be the protector. And we believe that anybody who is rising up to be a protector should not be swayed by emotion. So we somehow did that. But what, and another thing is this, we are afraid of correction when we reveal what we really want. Because we are, even cancel culture, right? Cancel culture is talking about what you think or what you want and you get canceled now, just based on your opinion. But what does God say in 1 John chapter 4, 18 through 19? I'm going to read this. You may find it on your either paper Bible or electronic Bible. It's 1 John chapter 4. We know this one, verse 18 through 19. At least I hope we do, but I know we do. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So what, on the other slant, we can take a look at, when we approach God, we should not be afraid of reprimand by saying what is in our heart, because he already knows what is in our heart. So we should just bear it all, just like Adam and Eve, be naked, do not protect ourselves, do not put our guards up, Do not be afraid of not getting what we want or being punished for expressing what we want, which often does happen in society. But we need to approach God with complete and utter transparency, because that is absolutely required if we are to go and go to the next step. The first is we got to be completely honest, because he already knows our heart. And I believe that when we're honest, we can be surrender. We can truly surrender to God. Just like Jesus said, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Complete honesty, right? Complete trust. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Yet not my will, but yours be done. But he was being honest first. So Jesus surrendered, he lay down. And through revealing our heart, because often it requires a lot of practice, because we also practice by living in the society to hide things in our heart, or someone like me, who's been bullied all throughout my younger years, to sever connection from my heart and only live intellectually, because there are some people, quite a lot of men, that we severed in our early years, and we live from our headspace. And we are very legalistic when you do that, because you only want to make sure that everything is right according to our intellect. So surrender. That's very important. And surrender from the heart, seeking God's will. So my mom, some of you have never met my mom. She's one of the elders at Korean Community Church before she moved to Vancouver. She was a major intercessor in Korea. We have immigrated to Canada in our 1980s, in my early, I think I was 12 or something. But my parents were the pilot project, according to the government, for the investor's visa. We have that now. But now the condition is that you have to have a certain amount of money in a bank, and you have to invest into a certain company for you to receive permanent residence based on your investment. But they were the pilot project, and they did not require any funding to come to Canada. They would just show up. And my parents, obviously, they were wealthy. My dad is electric engineer. He traveled the world. He built megastructure in Europe and Middle East, and he was very successful and made a lot of money. And they bought, my mom was intercessor. She prayed and invested into so many different properties, and that brought in the bread, and she multiplied according to the leading of the Spirit. And as they were getting ready to come to Canada, my mom was really, really praying. She felt that she would like to sell every single properties before she would come to Canada, because they thought about investing all that money into the corporation, and the owner is one of the community person in Ottawa. So she was praying and praying, and it was not being sold. And she went to a mountain. Some of you know prayer. How many of you have heard about this prayer mountain, right? Prayer mountain, and she went to prayer mountain, and she prayed, fasted, and sought God. And all she did was keep asking God to do what she wants. She wasn't asking him what he wanted. She kept asking, badgering God, keep seeking and keep knocking and keep asking without slowing down, because the time of the essence, right, it was urgency, because they were leaving soon. And I believe it was in the 87. The important thing is the reason why I'm saying 87, I'll tell you soon. So she could not sell anything. So she gave the keys to my grandmother, or the deed to my grandmother, to sell everything and send the money, wire transfer money, to Canada. And she did, selling it at the market, slightly below market price. And because of that, they had the money now to invest. But before investing, my parents were warned by the prophet, well-known prophet. My mom's really close with the prophet, and say, do not invest a single penny to that corporation. And obviously my mom kind of prayed a little bit, but because they had relationship with the owner of the corporation, they kind of gave in because of the relational pull and did not really heed to God. And they lost everything. And year past 88, we know some people who are Korean, we had Olympics, and their property went up 20 times after 1 year. Now it's 100-fold, their property. Now this 2026 is 100-fold, but it went up 20-plus times. Their commercial property, their private property, everything went up 20 times. And because they invested the money that God did not want them to have, because they'll be conned, they lost everything. My dad had to do a delivery. I ate a lot of pizza. I ate a lot of pizza back then, right? And back then, they would give you leftover pizza for free. So he would bring back home 2-3 in the morning, give us the pizza, and there you go. So it was hard when you are not surrendered. So that's the lesson my mom learned, and she's still faithful. I love my mom. She's an amazing intercessor. She still prays for us. But sometimes disobedience will cost you everything. I'm not saying every disobedience, every act of not surrendering to God will happen before us. That's what happened. So when we surrender, and when we do that, when we just tell God, just like Jesus, right? Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, right? And he was being honest, yet not my will, but yours be done. And he surrendered. Then after that, God will empower you. We know in verse 43, angels came down. And he says, and there appeared to him. Okay, let's go to the next slide. There you go. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. But we know that he continued to pray. He didn't just receive the strength from God through angels and just stood up and went to be crucified. No, we can read from this verse that he continued to pray to a place where he was actually in such agony, empowered to pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, in agony and in fervency, where blood was mixed with his sweats, right? Why is that important? Well, sometimes before we step out in faith, just do what God desires. If we still have issues at heart, if we still have residue of what we want, we need the Holy Spirit for us to pray through with God. Because we know, I said it before, that in a kingdom, everything is and needs to be done through the heart. Because God only looks at our heart. That's why the people who did all the miracle signs and wonder, manifestation of the work of the Spirit and in the name of Jesus was done, but they're not heart-to-heart connection. Because when you're connected through the heart, when you're surrender in abiding in presence of the Lord, the byproduct is impartation of his character and his glory in due time. And he will bear the fruit through us in love. And it is very important for us to be honest, to seek God's will. And not all the time, often, we need his presence and a power and love to work out the issues of our heart before we step out. Because when we finally step out, what happened? When we step out in faith after him telling us, and we don't have our heart worked out, we just want to gung-ho and do everything. When we finally encounter all the trials and tribulation, was that really God? Was that him? This can't be God. I obeyed him. How can this hardship come upon me? This is not real. But in reality, we know by promise or declaration of Christ, we will face trials and tribulation. And we need to work out all these things in our heart. And it's not time wasted. It's time spent with God. This is one of the hardest things that an entrepreneur like Son and I had to go through. And we share multiple times that every time we enter into business or we receive confirmation to start a business in a marketplace, because it's been a prolonged season of waiting, we didn't properly process that. We ran with it. And as we're running with it, we often had house church. We often was serving as a leader in a church, and house church, it's really complicated. House church and all that. And we would have immense amount of opposition. And the greatest mistake that we did was receive from the Lord, empowered by God, but to the end, as we are running the business, often within a few months, it would explode. And we would often do a crisis management and do not love people properly, do not process things properly. But we're so busy doing things for God and doing things for God that we forget the whole purpose behind it. And we have wounded so many people unintentionally because we were so focused on doing things for God. And we didn't have deeper understanding. And through all those pauses, about a year or two, sometimes it's 2 years of nothingness, we learned to cultivate and learn how to. And I want to encourage all of us that the time that we think that we don't have to spend time with the Lord is the hour that we must and we need to set aside for us to enjoy His presence and His love and be recharged so we can love others as He is loving us. And again, I want to remind all of us, lastly, how do we walk it out? What is number one? We got to be honest and incredibly transparent with God. And it requires a lot of practice, a lot of asking. God, seek my heart. Search me, O God. Book of Psalms, right? Continue to have conversation with Him. We need that practice. And from that place, we need to surrender to whatever He wants. And we need to be empowered to process that in our heart. I know that we've been walking in this incredible journey, all of us. Any desire for us, especially nowadays, in these last days, for us to love well. And this is one of the ways that we acknowledge that we're being loved by God, to approach Him without fear or anxiety, and desiring what He wants for us as ours. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. This incredible love that all of us experience at the beginning of our journey when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart. But some of us have lost that. Whether we got so enamored by the vision and a mission or making disciples of the nation or doing the citywide ministry or building the local church body as a healthy body, whatever that might be, Lord. Father, sometimes we do things without continuing to cultivate our relationship with You. Father, thank You so much for giving us this incredible Holy Spirit that is in us. Thank You, Jesus, for abiding in us. Thank You, Father, for giving us a new nature and being a new creation. We bless You, God. Bless You, Lord. Father, help us to cultivate this incredible culture that You have given to us. We bless You, Lord, in Jesus' name.